All right, we're live.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back, podience. Oh, I just came up with that.
No, you didn't.
You're right, I've been sitting on that.
I mentioned earlier that I have a question for you that I sourced from a different place. So last episode was, both the questions were from the Book of Questions. I have one for you from Ask Men on Reddit.
Ooh. Let's hope it's men's rights related.
It's not at all. Are you ready?
Yep.
Do you consider your ears part of your face?
That's what a weird question. I love it though.
I thought so too.
No, I don't. Never thought about it, but fuck, no.
You have a very strong opinions on this.
Yeah. I think my ears are like averagely sized and pushed back, so they don't, I don't factor them in.
Do you consider large ears part of a face? Do you ever consider ears part of a face?
Like I said, I've never considered this question. but now that you bring it up, yeah, I think they factor in if they're like abnormal. Definitely they play a part in the overall visual of your face.
That's true. What I'm thinking of is like cartoon characters or stuff and stuff where like the ears are clearly part of the character.
Yeah, like that's a good point.
The classic Mickey Mouse, you can't do him without ears. So are they part of his face?
It'd be so weird. I don't know. I mean, they're not part of his face, but they're part of his look.
Is that the distinction then?
I don't know. That's a tough one.
How do you feel about whether or not your lobes are attached to your face?
Lobes attached, psychopath.
Don't you have attached lobes?
Separate.
Let me see.
Do ears. I?
Yeah, you're so totally attached.
Oh, fine. Whoops. Outed. No, I only realized that was a thing like a few years ago, that some people's weren't attached.
Well, there's varying degrees of it. Mine are like semi-attached. Like it's whether the curve of the bottom of the ear turns up before it connects to your skull.
Yeah, right. It's not really that they're attached or not. It's just like, how much does this part hang, dip down?
Yeah. Yeah. You could definitely turn attached lobes into detached lobes with stretching.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Right?
Or vice versa. You could just...
Wait, what? How do you turn it the other way?
You could just, I don't know, the same way that they, you know, when they pin your ears back, they basically cut your head and cut your ear,
right,
and sew it together,
right?
So they could do the same thing with the lobe.
Off the bottom of a lobe,
or you could lop it off too. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah,
rather than sew it
and make it attached,
sew it to your neck.
Some people care a lot about whether it's attached or not. I
think I prefer a detached, to be honest.
I jokingly told my wife that I had a strong preference for detached lobes, which she doesn't have. And ever since then, she brings it up in conversations with people like I'm some sort of like Hitler type. And I will not stand for it. It makes me seem like a really bad guy, but it's not true. I want to go on record. Although I do prefer detached lobes.
I can't hold that against you. Like, it's aesthetic preference, I guess.
Do you, even though you don't carry them?
Yeah, no, I think I prefer a detached lobe, to be honest.
You want a little underhook to the lobe.
I mean, it's not going to be a deal breaker.
Well, it clearly wasn't for me.
Yeah, you got over it somehow.
Somehow. I don't know if I'm over it.
What if one day you came home and are we saying names? And I realized last episode I dropped a hard name bomb.
Yeah,
and we can say I'm the not names sure if,
I think our wives are well, they're okay. Our significant others are okay with
them. Okay. So if you came home and Karen had like bandaged up ears, like at the bottoms, and she was like, I went in today and I had my lobes detached. No, for you, babe.
No, that's super fucked up. That's immediate divorce. Why would you do that? You know what is interesting? She's getting her ears pierced at 30 for her 30th birthday.
Oh, yeah?
And I do wonder how it will change things in our lives.
Like if her lobes will detach?
Yeah, exactly.
You think it'll... She doesn't have pierced ears at all?
Exactly. See, most people don't notice. And in fact, she's been given earrings for gifts a lot. But she can't use them.
Huh. Does it get more painful as the older you get, like the chicken pox?
Or circumcision?
I think circumcision is equally as painful. Oh, at right. any you age, just you just don't remember. Don't remember. Yeah,
fair, fair. No, I don't think that's how it works. I do think that it might be better to get it over with young, but mm-hmm. pierced ears are a weird cultural phenomenon anyway.
Yeah, totally weird. I had my ears pierced when I was 8. Well, I had the one ear done.
Yeah. Did you, was there a gay ear at that time?
Yeah, I think it, I can't even remember which side I had mine on.
That's a weird thing too.
But yeah, there was definitely that thing where
people said that one ear was gay, right?
Yeah.
So which one did you have done?
I got the non-gay one at the time, whatever that was.
Whatever it was then.
Yeah. it's probably changed year to year.
Yeah.
But what shocked me the most was, well, I thought it was going to hurt. It didn't really hurt that much. It was the barber that did it.
The barber?
Female barber. She was also like a beauty person.
Aesthetician?
Aesthetician, I guess, yeah.
That's interesting.
And she's like, oh no, it's basically just kind of feels like a bee sting. And that was pretty accurate. It was over really quickly and I didn't feel it. But what the...
How old were you?
8. I really wanted an earring.
Let's be clear. Yeah. I was not leaving the barber shop without an earring.
I was like, you will use that gun on my head before I leave. No, but I was blown away by the fact that they just put the earring in the gun and ram it through your skin. That's how they pierce.
Wait, the earring itself? There's not a piercing implement that's separate to the...
I think there's different kinds of ways of doing it, but this particular one was like, you load in like a very discreet stud earring right into the gun.
And
it fucking fires that through your flesh and then you have an earring.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. I think we're going to go to a tattoo parlor to have my wife's done because we heard that they're better at it because they do piercings all the time.
Yeah, on, makes like, sense.
Yeah, I mean, why not?
It's not a big deal. I don't think it really requires a deep skill set to ram a sharp thing through a little piece of flesh. I've pierced my own ears several times with a guitar string, actually.
Why a guitar string?
Yeah, they're very sharp. A sewing
needle be better for that?
It's just what I had on hand.
That's so hardcore. Were you doing heroin at the time? Were you in a band? Why?
This was pre-band years. This was like probably grade 9, first year of high school. Oh, God. So I had the one hole that I started with, and then I did another one above it on the lobe. And then I did a cartilage piercing on the top, all with the guitar string. It was a B string.
Oh, God. That's so gross.
Yeah, it was surprisingly easy.
When I met you, you were healing from spacers, like the big guys, the cages.
Yeah, well, I wasn't actually... Well, I guess healing is technically correct, but I'd had those spacers for years before that, before meeting you.
Can you see them anymore?
Yep, you can... This one's still open. You can go through. This one actually closed, but I could probably reopen it pretty easily.
Wait, so you can get something through one of them, but not the other?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And if you look, they're weird. They have the cat butt effect.
What is that?
It's when the perimeter has little splits in it because you didn't do it right. And so when they close up, there's like a, like it doesn't close evenly all around. There's little wrinkles to it. So you get like a
weird,
like a cat butt.
Oh, I just got it.
Yeah. Are we live?
Yeah, we are.
All right.
I didn't prepare a second question though.
That's fine. I have an ad read.
We don't have a sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Shredded Cheese and Pickles. When you need a snack, just pull stuff out of the fridge.
That was the most low effort fake advertising I've ever heard. You didn't even bother to rhyme the word pickles. You tried. I could see those gears spinning. But you didn't make it.
What even rhymes with pickles?
Good point. I don't know.
Freckles? If you're Eminem.
If a close friend asked and genuinely wanted your opinion, but you knew he'd find it painful, for example, he's an artist and he seeks your honest appraisal of his artistic talent, and you think he's lousy, would you tell him the truth?
Ooh. Like, good question. And we have a soundboard that goes, that's the name of the podcast.
You want a soundboard so bad.
I want a soundboard more than anything.
Well, listeners, you can thank me for not allowing Jeff to have a soundboard. I guarantee you the podcast would not be better for it.
I'd overuse the shit out of it. I take myself out of the loop completely and just play sounds.
Those would be the responses to the question.
Would I tell an artist friend that he sucked? Well, in a way, I do feel like that is kind of my purpose on this earth, is to give people brutally honest feedback.
You are very honest, and I appreciate that about you. And I think most people, at the end of the day, appreciate honesty.
Yeah. I think it comes down to whether I thought this artist was really talented or not. Because if they're a lost cause, and there's no point in constructive criticism, like, they're just doing art makes them happy. Why take that away?
That's a very interesting approach. Then so I'd you would just let like, them carry on with their...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be like, good unicorn. But if I saw real potential, then I'd be like, yeah, maybe, you know, this idea was way better, or this is not working for me. This is way weaker than other stuff I've seen you do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're making it sound like you'd be nicer about it than you actually would be in real life.
Oh yeah. Those are the thoughts I'd want to convey, but the words I would use are like, this is dog shit.
How about this? Would you want someone to be honest with you?
Yeah, for sure. Even if it destroyed me, like I'd rather know the truth than be content in a lie, you know?
Yeah.
So
what's the worst piece of art you've ever seen?
I don't know. I've seen a lot of bad art. I'm on Reddit like every day. See bad art there all the time, but whenever I think of bad art, I think about that guy that did the urinal. I forget the name, but we studied him in art class years and years ago.
What did he do with a urinal?
I think it was just like he made a sculpture that was just a urinal.
Oh, okay. I vaguely remember.
I think it might have been like semi-broken.
I'm going to Google it so that we can tell people where to see it.
Yeah.
But yes, I vaguely remember this.
Like, it's funny because it's like he made that knowing that he made it as a statement that like not all art is good.
Right.
So when I think of bad art and think of that, it's he actually did achieve good art through the statement that he made, which is a weird way of that things work.
Isn't that all good art?
Yeah, it can be.
But it's called Fountain by Marcel Duchamp.
That's the one.
In 1917, a porcelain urinal signed R. Mutt and titled Fountain. In April 1917, an ordinary piece of plumbing chosen by Duchamp was rotated 90 degrees on its axis and submitted for exhibition at the Society of Independent Artists, the first annual exhibition by the Society to be staged at the Grand Central Palace in New York. Fountain was not rejected by the committee, but it was removed from the show area, since Society rules stated that all works would be accepted from artists who paid the fee. I guess they didn't pay. Following the removal, Fountain was photographed at Alfred Stieglitz's studio and the photo published in The Blind Man. The original has been lost.
Interesting. Yeah, well, every time I think of someone's, or every time I see someone who's trying to make a statement with art, I always think back to the urinal and try to think of, did it come from the same place as him doing that? And if it did, I like it. But if they were serious and think that this is something new and original that came out of your mind and deserves my attention, mm-hmm. then you can go fuck yourself.
That is really weird about art. It's very, very, very subjective.
And it's very contextual.
Like, yeah.
What was the intent behind this makes a lot of difference.
Yeah. Were you any good in art class in school?
I wasn't. I don't think I was good, but I was one of the top art students in the class. Looking back, I was like really terrible. But everybody was just more terrible by comparison. So,
were you provocative? Is that why? Or like, were you the fountain,
or were you just? I remember for one of the first projects we had to do was we had to carry a portfolio, a paper portfolio with all of our art in it. So the teacher made us decorate the portfolio itself, like a large paper folder. And I drew a nude woman on it in like pastels, like green and blue and green pastel. And thought I was pretty out there for a grade 9. The teacher liked it.
Yeah.
But it was pretty cringe.
Did you spend a lot of time shading her upper lip and such?
She didn't have an anatomical vagina or nipples. Because I felt I wasn't ready.
That's very wise for your years, because you probably weren't. Grade 9, were you ready?
No, it was too soon. Not only did I not feel like I had the skills, not only had I not really seen many vaginas at that point to even know what to draw, but I didn't feel like I could carry it around under my arm. And like the whole point was that you'd be carrying it around the school and people would see it.
Yeah.
That's why she wanted us to do it. So I didn't feel confident enough in my badge drawings. But man, I spent a lot of time on them tatties.
I wonder how common this is, because I also drew the female figure as a teenager.
Oh yeah.
Do you think that's like a porn era thing? Like, we didn't have good internet porn at the time, so we did that? Or do you think kids still do that today?
I'm sure they still do it. I know that having access would only have made me make more realistic drawings. It's not like I was making my own porn through drawing.
My weirdest art memory is I made a very emo drawing of a hand. This is in high school, maybe grade 10. It was of my own hand, and then there were like dots along the wrist in a very like kill yourself sort of fashion.
Ooh.
And I, when I was in college, doing the art classes that we took, one of the first assignments was to draw your hand, and I still had it, so I just cut off the emo part at the bottom and used it as my assignment. And the interesting thing was, though, that our art teacher was like, oh, you have dislocated thumbs, or they're double jointed. And he's totally right, but I didn't realize that you could tell that from the drawing.
Whoa.
And I was pretty happy with my drawing, because if it was accurate enough that he could tell that, because I do have double jointed thumbs, then it must have been pretty good.
So this must have been a result of like you spread out your fingers in such a way that it...
Yeah, so it's my thumb. So it's like the angle of where the thumb comes out and then bends up or whatever. And I guess it's somewhat unnatural looking. I don't know.
Well, I didn't know that you could actually, without your thumb being in a disjointed position, you can actually tell that it is.
Yeah. Huh. I mean, who knows? Maybe he was full of shit, but...
Clearly not.
Clearly not. I think he was a pretty good art teacher. Do you remember him?
Your art teacher?
You were in the class, weren't you?
Oh, this was Greg Murphy's class?
I don't know if that was his name, but...
Yeah, he was good. I did like him. Although, he didn't like me because I tried too hard.
He
could tell I was trying way too hard.
To be subversive again?
No. The first class we had with him, he talked about... you know, the Pixar lamp?
Yes.
And he talked about how that's one of the best animations ever.
Right.
Because it gives like character to an inanimate object.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Another part of that lesson was just the dynamics of bouncing because of the way that the lamp hops.
Yep.
He was talking about how when you draw a ball bouncing, it's really important to like... all the frames are not equally spaced because of the acceleration of the ball, and the ball deforms when it hits, when it moves up, it should deform one way. When it hits the ground, it should deform another way. So I tried to, on the margins of my art, book, the one that we all had to buy that was like an inch thick, I drew, a bouncing ball.
Right.
Like in frames. And so when you flip through the book, it would animate. And I pulled him aside after one of the classes to show him. And he was like, you're like, I could, you know, when you have a feel, he doesn't want to say it, but he's like, you have no talent.
That's really sad, Jeff. I think that shows initiative. And,
well, that's what I thought. And no one else seemed to give a fuck about the class.
Yeah, that's... Well, yeah.
And I thought I was... You know, I was... But in retrospect, I'm like, yeah, that was pretty teacher's petty of me. I should have just kept that shit to myself.